I think whatever software is out there, whether the software makes it a universal type of platform or the medium in which we're conveying that information is universal, I think that's the first step.
Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast presented by Applied Software. You're invited to join our MEP and construction innovation adventure with a mission to propel this great industry forward. My guest today is Rick Kramer. He is a senior technical consultant and Bluebeam certified instructor at Applied Software. He has over 20 years of experience with project delivery and workflows, as well as direct architectural experience with commercial, institutional, and federal projects. Rick has a passion for helping others work smarter, not harder. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Hey, Todd. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to be here, I got to tell you. Although I really, as soon as we're done with this, I'm flying one of these airplanes. So
I love the airplanes. Yeah, just listening, you got to go check out the video because Rick has an amazing collection of airplanes all behind him.
That's right. All over here.
How'd you get them all? What's the story behind them?
One at a time. It's like the story. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I do the same thing. I have one plane at a time.
Nice. You got a favorite one that's behind you? Do you actually fly them, or do they just stay on the wall?
My favorite one is this red and white one right here. That's my favorite plane. Right next to Bob Marley. Right over here. He's always looking at them.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, it's great to have you officially on the podcast. You are actually one of the rare people that get to throw back to the original Bridging the Gap back when we were a Facebook Live video series, and to come on all the time. And I was shocked when I looked around and said, Rick Kramer has not actually been on the podcast version of this. We got to correct this mistake.
Well, thank you. You know, it's good to be remembered and circle back to, the originators, and it's good to see your face as well. And I love doing these, so it's always fun. And also, bringing new information to people out there that, might have a different take on things. So
definitely. Well, I always like to start with getting some backstory on people. So how did you get into the industry?
So, I originally got into the industry in architecture growing up as a small kid. It's funny. I wish I would have known this question earlier. I have a photograph. If you could imagine a photograph of a young little Ricky Kramer who's around, 6 years old. And I was starting to construct buildings with little Legos. And actually, they weren't even Legos. They were Lincoln Logs, just to kind of show my age.
I love Lincoln Logs.
Lincoln Logs.
Those are great.
I was building a tower so high. And so I got into architecture. Now, I've always been fascinated by the technology in architecture. So one thing is to build the buildings, but the other is the technology behind it. So as you said, I love to work smarter, not harder. And I would see my fellow coworkers, struggle. And I'm like, hey, did you know you can click here and click here to make your life a little bit easier? Mm-hmm. So little by little, at every office I ever worked in, I was the guy that came for any kind of technical support or questions. And which brought me to Applied Software as, kind of focusing on my passion of helping others. And so that's what I do every day, is I help others understand the software, whatever the software might be, to fit their needs. And sometimes the software doesn't. And I've actually had a customer and I said, no, you know what? Keep drawing the way you're doing, pen and paper. You're 90 years old. There's no reason why you should learn something new, or maybe not. There is always an exception for the rule. But I've always loved having the technology help us make our jobs easier. And it shouldn't be a hindrance. It should be something that gives us the ability to do things easier.
Yeah, I love that. It's something that we hit on a lot, that, technology is a tool. It's made to make your life easier. If it's making it way more complicated and harder, let's take a look at what you're doing.
Exactly. Maybe we need to reevaluate the tool you're looking at. And that's the whole thing. I always equate to technology as a different type of tools. If you go to a construction site and take a look around, even virtually right now, if we were to just imagine a virtual site, construction site, there's thousands of different tools that people are using all the time. And you're going to use the right tool for the right thing. And so the same thing with software. But understanding what the need is first without just grabbing a tool is necessary.
Yeah, nice. So let's dive into a very big buzzword in the industry, and that's collaboration. So to kind of frame the conversation, how do you define collaboration in AEC?
So in the AEC industry, collaboration for me really came to the forefront of being able to work seamlessly with others remotely, wherever they are. And I could be collaborating with someone next door, but because of the new way of working, where like I'm working from home, you're working from home, probably half the workforce is mixed on coming into the office sometime and working remotely. Working collaboratively gives us a seamless opportunity to work together. And when we're working collaboratively, it's a seamless integration. And that's the goal.
Yeah. So why should people care?
Yeah. Why should people care? Well, at the end of the day, rework, right? I only want to do my job, whatever it is that I'm tasked to do, and do it once. So if I can do it once correctly, then I don't have to redo it and I can move on to the next task, whatever that task may be, whether I'm working in Office or in Autodesk software or Bluebeam, whatever it may be. If I'm driving a nail, guess what? I only want to drive that nail in once. I don't want to have to pry up that nail and pound it in again. So whatever the task may be, is doing it once and doing it right.
Nice. Simple enough. Yeah. Who has time to rework?
Exactly.
We got so much on our plate. So traditionally in AEC, I'm not breaking any news here, there's been this disconnect between architects and GCs. What technology trends have you been seeing lately that kind of help, pun intended here, I guess, bridge the gap in that workflow?
You know, it's funny. That has been ever since I started in architecture, there was always a disconnect between construction and architecture, even so much that the schools were in two different buildings. And so, you know, I look back at that now, and that really started the separation of the two industries as a reflection of what was going on in the time 30 years ago. And I think what really bridges the gap, per se, is technology, specifically the ability to visualize. And, you know, the old saying is a picture is worth a thousand words, right? And when we start to take a look at pictures, whether they're virtual reality, augmented reality, a PDF that we might be looking at collaboratively together, we're looking at something together that we both understand. And I say, this is an apple. And you go, yeah, this is exactly an apple. So now we can move on. Where before we would have to describe that. Let's say before we had any type of means of communicating that, I would say, hey, I'm writing this letter to you, right? And if you think about the way that we did things 100 years ago, it was by a letter, right? And so I would describe the information to you in a letter. Well, now we're doing FaceTime, and I'm able to show this virtual thing, whatever it may be, and we're now on the same page. I think technology really is the key for a successful collaboration. And we're seeing technology come in more and more so. I think eventually we're going to see each other in three-dimensional avatars. We're not going to be doing kind of this flat version of ourselves.
Yeah. So what's the kind of the digital transformation then look like for AEC in from your vantage point over the last few years?
Well, for me, I think the biggest thing was the use of these guys, right? Cell phones. Uh-huh. We have pocket sized computers where this was impossible just not that long ago. So I believe the technology that we have in our hands, whether it's a cell phone or an iPad, really gives us that tool. And that's the tool, because this can transform into anything. So now I can capture videos, I can capture photos, I can do voice to text. I don't need a keyboard. And all that information can be collaborated on using some type of cloud-based platform.
So the technology is one aspect of it and has really come leaps and bounds over the last several years. The other side of that coin, I think, is the mindset shift that's required to, A, embrace the technology, but B, and the bigger hurdle is embrace change. Nobody likes change. And, you know, especially probably in the AEC industry, we're a little bit more reluctant to change processes than maybe some others. How do you encourage the mindset change that is needed to better embrace collaboration?
Well, you know, if anything, I would even say that the AEC industry actually excels at change. And here's the reason why. Because there's always an influx of young minds. And the young minds that come out of school embrace technology. They were born with technology in their back pocket. And it's the old timers that really have to make that change, that really might have a struggle with the way that things were done on pen and paper. And now it's done digitally. And now it's done even more transformatively with innovations that change constantly. So being the fact that people inherently, you know, it's kind of funny. Are they lazy or they want to work smarter? And there's a little fine line between that, right?
Hey, many of smart things came out of somebody trying to get out of work. So,
right, exactly. They're like, wait a minute, if I can do this faster and easier, then I can get back to doing whatever it is that I want to do. You know, and the technology, I think, is embraced more so now because we've realized how dependent we are on it. When there's an outage on the web, I mean, everything comes to a halt. So we've, if anything, become even more dependent on the technology.
Applied Software believes that heroes are built. The men and women of construction are those heroes. In an effort to honor the dedicated workers who build our infrastructure and future, Applied Software is seeking to shine a spotlight on construction by providing lunch to lucky crews as part of Food Truck Fridays. Want your company spotlighted? Enter to win lunch on Applied by following three easy steps. Step one, post a picture of you and your crew on LinkedIn. Step two, tag Applied Software in your post. Step three, use the hashtag #HeroesAreBuilt. Your crew just might be selected to be part of Food Truck Fridays. So you kind of entered in a third dynamic of my coin analogy breaks down at this point because there's not three edges, but let's pretend, okay? I'm painting a picture. We got a three-edge coin here, and that's the multi-generational, intergenerational complexity of the industry. How do you encourage people to kind of work through that and create the a conversation between the different generations so that it's not the young technology enthusiast bucks coming in, going up against the, you know, right, seasoned,
you know,
and we've done it this way all.
It's something that I've seen a lot. Even before technology, there's always been someone in the firm who really is the seasoned architect, right? That gentleman or person or lady knows everything and has been around the block, right? And knows how to put a set of buildings together. That requirement in architecture is to have an internship, which requires a person coming out of college to intern with someone who knows more than they do so that they can show them the ropes. I think that same requirement needs to still hold fast in a technology environment where people coming into a new culture, a new company, have to have some type of internship. That internship is, all right, how do we do things? And it's not just, here's where our printer is, here's where the coffee maker is, a workflow, how things are done, so that they can also interject and bring in some new ideas, some new fresh blood, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's really interesting. A couple episodes back, we had a guest, her name's Shannon Tomasco, and she's a ambassador for the skilled trades. And we had a conversation about the apprenticeship model and how that's the kind of perceived as the alternative model to traditional college and that route. But what we talked about was how really the apprenticeship framework and model is how it's always been done in the industry. Somebody seasoned takes on somebody that's more junior and teaches them the ropes. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at there with the internship of taking somebody on your wing, giving them the knowledge, giving them the kind of that skill transfer, knowledge transfer. Exactly. So, interesting. Exactly. So is it possible to bring different stakeholders across AEC to the table in construction to all be working together with real live information of the project?
You know, it's interesting. So to bring people together, it requires everyone to have, first of all, a medium that is universal, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we start talking about different types of mediums, if we're just looking at types of file types, just to kind of keep it big picture, you know, there's a variety of different file types. So if we were to look at a document at the same time, we would have to start looking at a common platform and whatever that platform of that software might be. And for me, you know, I gotta say the universal platform for me really has been doing everything on PDFs because it's easily accessible to everyone. You know, it's an application that allows everyone to pretty much, it's a universal file type that can be opened up on any software, any application that's out there, ambiguous or analogous. No, it's not ambiguous. I'm thinking of the different word. It doesn't matter if it's an iOS, Apple, PC, Android, you know, maybe BlackBerry, yeah. But I think BlackBerry's gone. So
it was cool there for a little bit.
It was very cool with the QWERTY keyboard. But
it was the trackball that always got me. Mine always got stuck and that was frustrating.
But, you know, to kind of circle back to your question, having the same type of language, right? So if we just look at it from a language perspective, if we were to get together with four or five people, well, how do we communicate? Well, we communicate using the same language. If we equate language to software, then, or that platform, whatever it is, that widget that we're looking at in the model, that model really is a real physical building, but it's represented electronically. So how's it represented electronically is the common language that we have to use to communicate better with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that on the surface, that sounds so simple, but yet it's so profound of communicating with the same language there and helping to define the terms and make sure that everybody's on the same page, because I think that's been a stumbling block in the industry is that there's so many different software types and platforms that people can be on. And so, you know, the architect might be in theirs, the GC's in theirs, the subs are in theirs, and the information doesn't necessarily always flow perfectly to the other systems. And then you have to kind of rework and put it in your own system, even though you got it from something else, you know? And so there's all this complexity to it, but if we could kind of simplify that down, have everybody operating in with that same common language, common platform,
same language, you know, I think
it's a big difference.
Everyone is speaking the same language of a you know, not even a platform, just it could be different platforms, but imagine if there was different platforms that all have a universal decoder, right? So if you're speaking one language and I'm speaking another, we automatically hear each other live in that version. Mm-hmm. So I think whatever software is out there, whether the software makes it a universal type of platform or the medium in which we're conveying that information is universal, I think that's the first step. And really taking file types, the way that we manage drawings in the construction industry, into a universal file type is going to be the first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does it mean? And then really, what does it look like to empower construction teams with technology? And then a second component, how does that actually practically play out on a job site?
You know, it goes back to a digital format and having everything at your fingertips, right? So you'll see contractors and architects out on the job site with, instead of bringing, hold on a minute, oh my God, this, right? Holy moly.
Big brick.
I mean, this big brick, forget about it. Instead, my iPad, which is in the other room, is that portable computer, right? And so I think the technology is there for us, and it's an overabundance of technology at our fingertips, like an iPad, that gives us the ability, or any digital platform, cell phones, iPads, tablets, that computing power really gives us the ability to transform it. And it's available to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So you're a Bluebeam certified instructor. I want you to instruct me here. How does Bluebeam then kind of play into this whole process of collaboration and bringing those stakeholders together and kind of bringing all those pieces into to one box?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because Bluebeam gives us the ability to utilize the most common software platform, the most common file type platform, I should say, as a PDF. It's as the most universal file type known in the digital industry. I think outside of a TXT file, right? And so a PDF can be opened by anyone, and Bluebeam gives us the ability to take that ordinary PDF and what I call elevate it to PDF 2.0. And what I mean by that is Bluebeam gives us the ability to overlay information on top, which then can be collaborated on very easily using Bluebeam Studio and Bluebeam Studio projects and sessions. And hopefully, by the time everyone's listening to this, sometime mid-summer, Bluebeam is coming out with a brand new platform that is cloud-based. And so that you'll be able to work on any type of document, work with others, and it doesn't matter what device they're using. As long as it has a digital screen in front of it and fits in your hand, you can collaborate with others. And so you'll be able to see in real time those PDFs and those construction documents and make comments back and forth and never worry about, did I send a text message or an email? Those things will be in the past. Communication will be at the pinnacle of creating smart PDFs and being able to exchange that information easily. Mm-hmm. And Bluebeam really excels at that. There's no other software platform out there that really kind of addresses the construction industry as a whole, from architecture to engineers to contractors. It is one software that kind of is a Swiss Army knife of all.
Yeah, nice. What do you think makes Bluebeam unique in the factor to be that Swiss Army knife? What's the empowering aspect of it?
I think primarily ease of use. If it's a tool that's easy to use, everyone is going to use it. And Bluebeam gives us a very easy to use tool. And even if we just use one tool out of that Swiss Army knife, Bluebeam can be used in a lot of customers that I talk to. They say, oh, well, we know that we only use 10% of the application and we love it. And I say, oh, by the way, did you know that you could do this? And they're like, what? And I say, oh my gosh, we can save so much more time now. Bluebeam, again, it goes back to ease of use and the ability for everyone to use it from back of house to front of house.
Yeah, nice. What's one of the best kept secrets about Bluebeam that people should know about?
Well, I would say Bluebeam Studio projects and sessions. So no matter what version of or edition of Bluebeam you own, you have access to storing your documents and sharing your documents, any file type whatsoever, not just PDFs. If it's an electronic file, you can store it online and invite others to participate and collaborate using any kind of platform. Right now, that's a huge game changer. So I can invite everyone to this project, no matter what type of file type, and it's going to be their computer is going to be that universal translator. So I provide all the documentation on a studio project in Bluebeam. And then the PC or Mac just opens up the correct application and I can start to edit my document and store it back into the cloud for everyone else. If I'm using what's called Bluebeam Sessions, it uses the universal PDF language, which then anyone can be invited to this project session and be able to collaborate and see each other's markups live, which is amazing. Nice. Because I can be in the comfort of my own home and the contractor can be three states or five states away working on a job site. And as they're walking through the job site, they can physically take their iPad or cell phone, in the future the cell phone, but currently the iPad, and take pictures. So documenting the issues live on a job site, putting them on a PDF, and then immediately I see it. And at the end of the day, it's a PDF, which gives everyone the ability to look at and review that drawing, regardless of application.
Yeah, and it opens up so much possibilities.
Oh, it does. It does. I mean, anytime I've worked with subcontractors or engineers or manufacturers, the first thing I say, do you have a PDF cut sheet of fill in the blank? They're like, yeah, of course. Here you go. And that ease of use and just giving of the technology or giving of the information via PDF, Bluebeam accelerates that and gives us the ability to mark up those drawings, add additional layers of information, as well as communicate effectively between all different stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So as we start to land the plane here, I want to pivot and really dive into some innovation topics, one of my favorite topics. So when does innovation move from just big fancy buzzword that people throw around to really being practical in your mind?
So it really is when it's the innovation, when it becomes, how could I say it? It's almost as if innovation is at its best when you don't see it and it becomes transparent and it just is there. You're just next thing you know, they're like, oh, I'm doing this. I didn't even know this was a new tool, and I'm starting to use it and I'm working easier. I'm like, oh, you know what? I can do this easier. So innovation, I think, is something that is constantly evolving, and it's best when you don't even know it's happening. And next thing you know, that you're already working more efficiently. And I think the first step is really diving into the deep end of the pool, or even the shallow end of the pool of Bluebeam.
Nice. So what you mentioned, diving in first and kind of figuring out, testing it out on Bluebeam, what would be the starting point that people should dip their toes in?
Well, it's interesting. So Bluebeam's website gives the opportunity to download a free trial for 30 days. And there's tutorials built into the software, which is unheard of in our industry, in the software industry, where built into the software are tutorials and training. And then you can also reach out to folks like ourselves at Applied Software to go and get additional training, live training, and really kind of hone in on those skills. Webinars, Bridging the Gap, all these digital type of platforms that we bring information and communicate, really the first step is download the software, play around with it. And I think you'll find it's very, very easy to use.
Mm, nice. Well, that sets up for how do people find out more information and connect with you?
Well, that's easy. The best way to communicate and get a hold of me is reach out to us at bluebeam@asti.com. That's Bluebeam. Right here. Wait a minute. In case you missed it, bluebeam@asti.com.
Nice. Awesome. And you do what's called the office hours, right? Mind talking about that, monthly, and sharing what those are?
Yeah. Monthly, we have our office hours. I don't know if you can tell, but it's getting dark outside. I just noticed like half my side is just completely dark. There's a thundercloud coming out here. Let's go back to your question.
Welcome to Florida. It's in the afternoon, you know, so it's rain.
Right. So every month at Applied Software, we have what's called office hours. And so that is a complimentary service as a way of saying thank you to our customers, where every month, if you check our calendar, you can attend a free 1 hour session and bring your questions to our 1 hour open office hour, where you can ask any kind of question. Or if there's no questions, I always provide some type of tips and tricks on using Bluebeam.
Nice. Love that interaction, the openness to have that conversation. That's great. All right. So final question for you. What does innovation mean to you?
Innovation mean to me is making my job easier.
Nice. Work smarter, not harder.
Work smarter, not harder. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Rick, for coming on the podcast officially and not just in the live stream. This is awesome.
My pleasure. Enjoyed the conversation. My pleasure. Awesome. Well, Thank you all. Todd, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to come back on again. Hopefully with some better weather, so it brightens up my face over here. Oh my goodness, that's so dark.
Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyant. Edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software production. Copyright Applied Software 2022.